What's up, everybody? This is Culture Court.
What's up, everybody? This is Culture Courts, and I'm Merlin. On tonight's episode, we have an upcoming artist all the way from New Hampshire. So, Dante, why don't you tell us, who is Dante Isaias?
Dante Isaias is a visionary and a poet, an R&B artist, a writer, a rapper, a producer, kind of just like a wizard. Pretty much like a musical wizard.
Nice. Okay, Mr. Musical Wizard all the way from New Hampshire, right?
Yeah.
What's it like growing up all the way over there in the East Coast? I think you're my first person from New Hampshire. I'm probably saying that wrong, am I? Oh, okay. Sorry, like I said, first one from New Hampshire, so I'm just like, oh, crap, am I wrong? But what was it like growing up there? Like, what's the music scene like?
It's surprisingly one of the last, like, strongholds for, like, rock and roll. It's very rock and grunge heavy. Because we're right next to Mass, we have an influx of, like, hip-hop artists. So there's a lot of fusion in that category. R&B, not a lot of R&B. A lot of the R&B artists are like older, like mid-late 40s. But it's like a time capsule. Because it's got all the young kids, literally as soon as something new drops, it's weird. Because in my high school experience, people were listening to like XXXTentacion before he got big.
Oh.
So like we're very like on the cusp as far as the youth, but as far as the general populace, they're stuck in like 95 or like 98. It's weird.
Okay, so like majority of the place is really stuck on like old school like punk rock type music, and then you're saying like there's some fusion of hip-hop elements in there in some areas? Or
the closer you get to Massachusetts, which is like Boston and them, the more like hip-hop oriented and like urban oriented, I guess, for sure.
So I mean, it said that you started off with EDM, but even if you started with EDM, like you weren't into rock. You didn't start music with rock. So what made you go into EDM?
All right. So I grew up with a very extensive knowledge of music because I have a very musical family. Like my grandfather was in band. My family in Georgia, actually, they're all choir folk. So my mom raised me on everything. I mean, everything from Marvin Gaye to Mobb Deep, and even like Prodigy, and just like random house artists and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what got me into EDM, was like hearing house music growing up, and just seeing how it broke out. Once I got internet access, actually, that's when it all started, is getting on the computer.
Shout out to technology.
Shout out technology and the technological boom, because I had unrestricted access to YouTube. So I would click from Tyler Creator's Yonkers video, an edited one, to like Skrillex.
Okay.
Like that's just where it would go. And I was like, okay. And then around the age of 11, I found this channel called Monster Cat. And I was like super duper into what they did.
Yeah.
And my stepdad at the time, he bought me some turntables, and he was like, yeah, why don't you do like, he taught me to, basically use turntables at 11, because he was using them. And he grew up, you know, turning tables, breakdancing, all that. I would make mashups of, EDM songs that I liked. I would download the MP3 and go ham.
So, I mean, like, shout out to technology, shout out to your mom, and shout out to your stepdad, especially because thanks to him, like, you really started creating your own music from learning from him, right?
Yeah. I had asked my mom for like a program to make music because I had been watching YouTube videos. But at the time, I guess Fruity Loops was too expensive. And I was only like 11 years old. So she got me something called Magic Maker 6. And for anybody who's produced anything ever, that is like the bottom of the barrel. Like, that's the if you know, you know. Kind of DAW.
Mm-hmm.
The functionality of it is like MS Paint. But for like a 12-year-old kid, that is like a candy shop. I was able to start making my own arrangements, and I started fucking with MIDI a little bit.
Okay. I mean, like, you got into EDM, you were listening to like all these different artists, you know, your stepdad, your mom, like, got you, kind of like helped you start like being more open to like different genres of music, right?
Yeah, they got me a little started. I started making a bunch of instrumentals, and I would put them on CDs, and I would sell them. And I didn't know how to burn multiple songs on the CD, so I would sell it. One song on a CD, 20.
And it worked, right?
It worked. No, I sold like five of them. Each time that I made a song, I was like, okay, I got this song, and I'll make like $60, and I'll spend it all on snacks. Because what else is he going to do as a fear?
Exactly. No, I mean, there's no harm in that. I mean, it's better to spend it on snacks than something else, right?
Yeah.
No,
that's true.
But I mean, you say your music is a blend of nostalgia and nuance. Now, like, you started off with EDM, but then you dive into hip hop and R&B. So like, when you say like your music is a blend of that, I do hear that in your music. But before we talk about that more, like, what, like, I'm sure you started liking the more songwriting part of it, or like, what was it that kind of helped you go into hip hop and R&B?
That's funny. Okay, so when I was about 8 years old, I would write poetry because I didn't like how my voice sounded. I had been singing since like I could talk. I would hum. I would like listen to the greats. I would listen to Al Green and Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, and those are my influences singing wise. But the way that they wrote their songs was beautiful. It's poetic.
Yeah.
I remember I used to play drums. I would play the drums to these songs and then stop playing or just listen to what they were saying. I was like, damn, I wish I could express myself in that way. So I didn't trust my singing voice at the time, but like, I used to be grounded as kids do. And my mom was like, you can write creatively and give you something to do. So I would do that. And I would start writing out these poems. And like, I remember the first poem I ever wrote was about how my emotions as like a 9-year-old related to how the leaves were falling in autumn. And from there, I just kept writing and I kept writing and I kept writing. And after a while, I got into chorus. And I started learning just the fundamentals of singing. And I started finding myself writing songs and like having to tune. And this was before I made beats or anything too. So this was just me writing creatively and singing and humming to it. And that's how I got into that.
So, I mean, like, this was like a few years even before you even started creating beats. So like, were you just more confident in like DJing and turntables rather than your own voice, or just expressing how you were feeling in your writing?
I hadn't figured out a way to merge the two. They felt like completely different worlds. Like, I would watch my stepdad play with turntables, and I would listen to Kanye West, and I would listen to Pharrell, and I would listen to Alicia Keys, and like, I would internalize that the sonic and the music of it, and then I would write. And writing for me was like a different side of my brain, so to speak. And I didn't find out how to merge the two constructively until I was about 14.
So
I really started getting into my artistry bag.
Now, like, what was that spark for you? Like, was it just practice and listening to other songs, or was it something like it just clicked instantly in your head? Like, oh my gosh, like, why am I scared kind of moment? I should just let it happen.
I had stopped doing chorus for sports, and then I had stopped doing sports because music was more appealing. But the thing that was the catalyst, I feel, was love was the catalyst. And I know that sounds corny, but I had my first relationship, and it pushed me to really find what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. I was like, okay, I had this thing I want to cultivate. And you know, when you become like a romantic, and it's hopeless, you're like, oh, I want to be a billionaire. I want to do all this. I want to make sure I can provide, you know? And for me, I was like, it was like something was unlocked in my soul. And I was like, oh, this is what we're going to do now. This is the path. This is the way. So I asked my mom again. I was like, I need software. I need stuff to make music.
Yeah.
And I watched like a video on how to set up MIDI, and I took off from there.
Okay.
I started making songs and writing, and it started out as all R&B because I didn't want to touch rap at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I made good enough beat. Like, I know how to play chords on a piano. We can do that.
Yeah. No, I mean, what's it called? You dropped your debut single back in 2023, just last year of October. At least that's what it shows on Spotify. And like, you've been very busy since then. Like, I think I counted a total of 23 singles out, including remixes. But since 23 of October, that's like, I mean, that's very consistent, but that's just like, you were on it. What made you just want to continue releasing music?
Well, I had a couple failure launches. Actually, that was a major part of it. It was like, I started my career musically seriously at 15.
Oh.
I was in studios. I was working with this sound engineer. Shout out Good Bars. He worked with people like Lil Bibby. I know he got fired to Sony with a band that he was in. And he's doing big things, so really, truly, shout out. He was my mentor in a lot of this. But honestly, I wasn't knowledgeable enough as an artist to tell him what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the quality of the mixes, we put out some stuff, but I lost confidence in myself a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I kept producing and I kept writing, it was like, I needed to sound right when it's recorded. I needed to sound right so I could put it out. And literally, I didn't find that mixture until I got with my now sound engineer and business partner. And shout out Dan Boucher. He's dope. He's the guy that you know, the clarity in my songs you probably heard. Listen to them.
Yeah.
Shout out him. If he was a sound engineer making it happen.
Aww.
For a lot of it. So, yeah, literally, I met him in 2022 and started like formulating the plan. I'm like, all right, he's like, I see your potential. We're going to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we started recording crazy. And we recorded the mixtape first, the rap tape. We recorded that first. And we were like, all right, so we're going to drop this on SoundCloud, but we need singles as we want people to like go back and listen. Even if I blow up off of stuff later, I want people to look at like different corners of the internet and be like, oh, he has stuff there. Oh, he has stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
And we kept to the plan. We dropped like 20 singles, mm-hmm. and then we dropped the tape. Yeah.
Yeah.
2023. And we've been plotting since.
Yeah. With the, like, your latest release, Youngins. But I mean, I think it was a song for me when I was listening to your music. It was called For You. And that just like, and that's why I really liked what you said. Like, it just gives you like that throwback feeling and nuance, just because that song kind of reminded me of like an old school like R&B vibe. Like, it's very like cute, and like, I personally love that. So like, I'm guessing this is like what you were talking about, like your inspiration on like sticking to the path. Or,
oh yeah, I'm glad you like that one too. It's definitely one of my favorites to write. Fun fact, I made the beat in like 2 hours, and then I wrote the song in about an hour and a half. And then we recorded it that day. And that process took like about 4 or 5 hours. So we literally, that song that turned out in a day.
Damn. Now, why do you think that was so easy for you to just put out there?
Because it came from the heart, honestly. I was like, you know what? I really feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
And it all just flowed supernaturally. And I feel like a lot of my songs, they all flow supernaturally. Mm-hmm. I will say this, though. I love that song. That isn't even my best work. I don't feel like I've dropped my best work yet. And I still have stuff coming out. So, like, I'm super excited.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'll agree with you on that. I don't think you put out your best just because, like, listening to your singles on Spotify, I was just like, you're so diverse. Like, yeah, you do have that R&B flow. Sometimes you switch it up to hip hop. Sometimes you blend it in together. So I'm like, it kind of makes you like eager to like see what you're going to release next, just because like all of this stuff right now, you're just already, people are already enjoying, I'm guessing. I'm already enjoying. So it's just like, what type of flow, what type of beat, like what's your ideas on your next single, right?
Yeah.
And no, I mean, let's talk about your latest single, Youngins. So like you just that's your newest single. You just recently dropped that. Now you're saying For You was just very easy for you. Like, what was it like creating Youngins?
Youngins had a way more difficult path. Youngins was written 2 years ago. Okay. And the beat was also made about 2 years ago before I met Dan. And I had released it on Spotify before. I had recorded it myself because I just learned a couple mixing like things, and I was like, okay, I know what I'm doing now. And I wrote the song, I produced it, I put it out, and it sounded whack. I'm gonna be completely honest. And I showed it to Dan when I met him, and he was like, take that off of Spotify. We're gonna redo it later. And I was like, at first I hate my car, because as an artist, you don't want to be like, oh, this shit's whack.
Yeah.
I can't have this on the streets. You gotta keep the mid off the streets. This ain't mid, it was mid.
Yeah.
So we went back to the drawing board, and I literally forgot about the song until I was scrolling to beats. And I happened to click on the beat for it, and I was like, oh, we need to drop this. And we re-recorded it, and I think it sounds a million times better. If you had heard the original, oh my God. But I dropped it on my birthday, fuck that.
Oh, so it was like a birthday present for you.
Yeah, it's kind of an homage song, because the whole point of that song is, look how far you've come from the dreams you had when you were a child.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the struggles you went through in between those dreams, all the times you ain't given up. Look at where you are now, and look at how far you have left to go. Like, the dream's still alive.
Well, I mean, like, you were talking about, like, you struggled with confidence, releasing music here and there. But, like, for a new upcoming artist, you know, what would you give them as an advice? You know, like, after you found your mentors, the person you're working with right now, like, would it be finding someone like that? Or would it be, like, having no care but more confidence in yourself and what you're releasing? Like, what are your thoughts?
It's a mix of both. As an artist, in order to make it anywhere, you gotta have confidence to be able to pursue what you're doing in all facets. But at the same time, you gotta be real with yourself about your weaknesses, because you'll never reach your true strength.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't ever give up on yourself. If you know you're good at something, even to the minimalist of facets, no matter how much doubt you feel or have in your heart or soul,
mm-hmm.
you go for it. You do what you're good at. You could be good at one thing or 20 things.
Mm-hmm.
Master the things you're good at.
Mm-hmm.
Only as many as you can. But be real with yourself about your weaknesses and learn from it. Don't give up on yourself because of those weaknesses. But learn from it. Learn how you can strengthen them. Learn how you can, like, say it's a confidence thing, and like I had, and you want to keep going. Just push through those mental barriers. Or if it's, oh, I can't do this certain thing, and I want to find somebody I can collab with to work. The world is an expansive place, and there's people all around you looking for, maybe you have something that they don't have. Turn it off. Talk to people. Make those connections. Do what you gotta do. Just never give up. Always find a way.
No, I mean, when it comes to like artists that you've looked up to, like you mentioned Kanye West, you mentioned Pharrell, you mentioned Alicia Keys. Now, like, what is something that you would want to learn from them if they were your mentor? Actually, forget Alicia Keys, just because like they're not in a similar branch, I feel like. So let's just say Kanye West and Pharrell. Like, what would you want to learn from them if they were your mentor?
Honestly, and I'll go more Pharrell on this because of the expansiveness of the genres that he covered. It's definitely more about Bill House. But I want to understand the minimalism of it all, because I feel like the things that I make are so expansive and kind of gaudy at times that, like, how can I dial it back while still keeping it in touch with myself? And I think I'd have that question for anybody who's made it farther along in their journey than I have. It's just like, what are little ways you can humble and cultivate yourself artistically? If that still needs to grow, how can I keep growing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Click the envelope.
Okay. All right. Well, after saying that, how are you going to push the envelope? Like, what do you have upcoming releases coming up soon?
Oh, yeah. Okay. We got a lot cooking. I got another single dropping soon. I believe the 26th. Let's call Clarity. I got 3 singles so far for the album that's going to be releasing soon. And that would be Ghosts, which did really well. Thank God, received really well.
Mm-hmm.
We got For You, which you like. That's also going to be on the album. And the next album single is going to be Clarity, and that's coming out in the next couple days.
Oh, shit.
And that's, it's an R&B song, but it's a fusion of a drill and a little bit of garage. It's nice. It's a very sentimental kind of somber song. We got songs where I'm flipping samples, but I'm on guitar, singing and rapping. We got singles coming out until May 10th. And then from there, I'm working on an expansive project with my boy Dijonay. Shout out Dijonay. Shout out the A's, because I also dropped Bumblebee with one of my guys from the A. Shout out Z.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot coming. We got a rap album, we got an R&B album. I'm actually in a singing competition right now, and I made it to the second round of that, so I'm hoping to keep going further. We're moving, we're doing shows, we're doing everything.
All right, well, I mean, that's just music though. Like, what about performances? Do you have any shows coming up soon?
Well, I got that competition on the 11th, and it's gonna be in Hampton, if any of my folks around active on the 11th. We're going to be at Hampton with it. I'm going to be performing a song, you know, trying to push forward, get that prize money, get back to the community a little.
Mm-hmm.
And then, honestly, as far as shows go, I'm just doing open mics for now. I'm trying to get my name out there. I'm trying to get in touch with people. I'm trying to network.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing major. But the goal is to do a couple festivals this summer.
Okay. And I'm sure you're going to have like all the information for that on your Instagram, right? Or what's your most used social platform?
Nope. You're going to find it all on my Instagram.
All right. What's your handle again?
All of it. Dante Isaiah official underscore.
Awesome. And so that way people know if they're not already following you, they can give you a follow, see what's new, see what's coming up for releases and whatnot. And I'll also attach a link on our episode, so that way they're just a click away from any of your platforms.
Oh, yeah. That'd be perfect. Yep.
Now, last question before we go is, why should people give you a listen?
Ooh, because nobody is doing it like me. And I know that's a very cliche thing to say, but as far as the expansiveness of my art, and my art form, and my ability to connect with the people through frequencies, you're going to want to be here from the beginning. You're going to want to be one of those people that said, I was here before he got big. because I'm trying to have the tightest, coolest family fan base that I can have. And I want to be able to spread that love and that welcome to everybody.
Well, I guess that's more of a reason to give you a listen, right? Because if they listen, they'll believe it. Yeah. All right. Well, other than that, that's it for our episode. Thank you for being down, for connecting.
I appreciate this opportunity. Thank you very much.
If you like this episode, don't forget to follow or subscribe for future episodes. And don't forget, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, @CultureCords. Thanks for listening. Till next time.